Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. In counseling his own son, Solomon quoted things that his father, King David, had told him. A godly legacy, born of example-backed words, is one of the best things that we can give to our children. Above all, David wanted Solomon to get wisdom and understanding, which really means that he wanted his son to live for the Lord. Knowing that their children love God and serve Him is a parent's greatest blessing. Please open your Bible to Proverbs 4, verse 3, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola continues his study of this chapter. Bless the Lord, oh my soul,
bless His holy one. Solomon here, who is the human author, says, "For I was my father's son," so that would have been David. "Tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother," who would have been Bathsheba. "He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live." He taught me. Imagine having David for a father. David is here teaching his son. And he taught him, "Let your heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live." No doubt David has a lot of experience, doesn't he? Good and bad. And he's reminding him how important it is to obey what God says. And David knows that when you don't obey what God says, there are consequences. And so he makes this appeal. And again, he is taking the role, David is taking the role as any father and Bathsheba, as any mother would do, teaching the children the importance of obeying the commandments of the Lord, retaining His words. In the book of Ephesians, verse 4 of chapter 6, it says, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." The very foundation of the nation of Israel was based on the church, or the family being the bedrock of the nation, where theology was taught. Deuteronomy 6, beginning in verse 6, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and you shall teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk in the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." Strong families make strong churches. Strong Bible-believing teaching families make strong churches. And we need strong families if we're going to be a strong church for the glory of God. Abraham was the man of God, a friend of God. And in Genesis chapter 18, God declares, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment." Notice Papa Abraham, he didn't ask his children whether they wanted to obey God or listen. He commanded them to. Now, when they got to that age where they could be on their own, then they're free. But Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." You see, dads, we have to take that role. We have to take that headship role seriously. Notice Abraham will command his children and his household after him. Let your heart, 19 times in the Proverbs, we're going to find references to thine heart. When the Bible talks about the heart is the throne room of the Spirit. We could say it. It is the holy of holies of this body. It's the reservoir from which flows the issues of life, whether they be good and bad. And he's going to mention more about the heart at the end of this study. So David is telling Solomon, "Let your heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live." And then he says, "Get wisdom." Boy, you need wisdom? Abba wants us to have wisdom. And here, Solomon learns from David. And he says, get wisdom or acquire wisdom and understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of thy mouth. So these are verbs. These are action words. It's a pursuit in life, getting the wisdom of God. Now, notice, we already saw in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, that the very source of wisdom is what? The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. That's what we need. The church needs the fear of the Lord. That's the beginning of wisdom. In Proverbs 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. That's the beginning point. And here, Dad is telling his children, that's the very beginning of living a life for the glory of God. Fear God. Keep his commandments. Hide his word in your heart. The fear of the Lord, the reverence of the Lord is, I fear, sometimes lacking in the body of Christ, and how we need to once again listen to what God says. The fear of the Lord is so important. Solomon ends Ecclesiastes. It says, let us hear the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. And I believe that we need, the church needs, the body of Christ needs to remember who is God and that we're not God. And we need to fear him and reverence him and awe him. And what a thing to tell your children, to tell your son, to tell your daughter, and if you're grandparents, to tell your grandson, your granddaughter, fear God, keep his commandments. Hold on to his word. Boy, is that a message that our young people need to hear today? All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, Colossians tells us, are found in the name of Jesus Christ. So he says, don't decline from the words of my mouth. Get understanding. Get wisdom. Don't forget it. Forsake her not. In other words, do not turn your back on her, and she shall preserve you. The fear of God, the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God will defend you and will keep you. Love her, and she shall keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, verse 7, and with all thy getting, get understanding. The word principle here is the same word as beginning. And so the father here, Solomon, is hearing from has heard from David, and he's telling him that the most important thing is to get the wisdom of God, to fear God, to love God, to obey God. He's telling him this over and over and over again. And do you think it's possible, parents, grandparents, that we could tell our children that too much? I don't think so. The things that they're hearing at the speed of internet, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all you have to do is have devices like this and iPads and all kinds of other social devices. We need to be people who teach our young people how to fear God, how to walk in his wisdom, how to look for his wisdom, how to get the understanding that they need. And the wisdom that we talk about is not secular worldly wisdom. That may have its place. That may be valuable in getting wisdom and how to perhaps fix things or how to deal with certain things, but it's the wisdom that comes from above, the wisdom that James chapter 3 talks about. That's the kind of wisdom that we need, that our children need, if we're going to bring glory to God. And notice, when we walk in wisdom, the promise, exalt her and she shall promote thee, she shall bring thee to honor. When you embrace her, she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. All of these promises, Dad is telling his children. Now picture this. Picture you talking with your kids, talking with your grandkids, and just going through the Proverbs with them. I actually have parents over the years say, well, what should I talk to them about? That's a good question. It's a valid question. And how is it just to take out the book of Proverbs? Sit down. We're going to read Proverbs chapter 4 tonight. We're going to read Proverbs chapter 5 tomorrow night. We're going to read Proverbs chapter 6 the next night. That's what you talk to them about. You just pour God's word into them, God's knowledge into them. That's what you pour into them. That's what they need to hear. That is what will give them the ability to see things from a heavenly perspective rather than a secular and worldly perspective. And so this is so encouraging to hear how God chose us. This is how you have these facts of life conversations with your son or with your daughter. Next week, if you're here next week, he's going to have a very frank conversation with his son about the kind of women that you should not want and the kind of woman that you should want. Do you think that our young people need to hear that? Hear, O my son, verse 10, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life shall be many. Again, 23 times in the Proverbs, my son, relationship. And when we think of our children, they're gifts from God. We need to remember that. They are on loan to us from God. And it's our responsibility to steward them. Now, unfortunately, if a son or a daughter or a grandson or a granddaughter is not listening to the wisdom of a dad or a grandparent or a grandmother, then they're going to go astray. But our responsibility is to plant that seed and to teach them what God says. And so he says, hear my son and receive my sayings. Listen, how many times he says to hear and to listen, and the years of your life shall be many. I have taught thee. Now notice, he says, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. What do you see there? That he goes from telling him what to do to telling him, I was an example to you. Note that this father not only taught his son with his words, but he led him by example. Jesus, of course, is the greatest teacher in life. He's our example, isn't he? And whether we like it or not, kids watch us, don't they? They watch us, they listen to us, they observe us. And as you get older, and they get older, they are more honest with you. You know, when they're teens, they're geniuses. They're smarter than you, they think. They're wiser than you, they think. Just like we thought we were smarter than our children, or our parents, and wiser than our parents, we thought. And when we disobeyed, we found out that mom and dad were right and we were wrong. But notice the power of an example. The power of being a godly example. For children to see mom and dad praying. For children to see mom and dad reading the scriptures. For children to see mom and dad dealing with issues that are challenging them in a biblical way. For them to see an example of what a godly man and a godly woman are like in life and in marriage, how they apply the scriptures to their lives. He's saying, I taught thee in the way of wisdom. I just didn't give you empty words. I modeled it for you. And you know, that's the most powerful way of teaching our children. Not just by precepts, but by examples. Jesus, when he was in the upper room, as far as the body of Christ, after 3 years of teaching good doctrine, he brings his disciples in the upper room and he washes the apostles' feet. And he says, I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Within the body of Christ. He says, do you see what I'm doing? I'm washing your feet. I'm giving you an example of how you are to love one another and serve one another. And here you've got the creator of the universe washing the feet of his creatures. You've got God washing the feet of his children. And what can you and I learn from Jesus Christ in an example of washing feet, one another's feet as the body of Christ? It's a humbling thing, isn't it? It's a humbling thing. And yet Jesus humbled himself. He washed the apostles' feet. He says, you've seen me? He goes, now go and do this. And then he says, happy will you be if you learn from this. I talk to people all the time, but Pastor, I just want to be happy. According to whose definition? The Bible or the world? They're diametrically opposite ways of obtaining happiness. The way of happiness is denying yourself for the glory of God and for the sake of others. That's the path of happiness. Jesus said, when you come to me, deny yourself, pick up your cross, die to that old man. That's good wisdom. That's the wisdom that we need. That's how Jesus gave us the example to live. He says, I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. But again, he's the ultimate example. You've got this parent telling his children, I taught you in the way of wisdom. I led you in right paths. He gave to his son and daughter godly wisdom. Now, granted, mom and dad, if you have any prodigals in here, the children need to obey. They can choose to disobey. And if they do, that doesn't mean you've failed. You and I are only responsible to teach them the right way and to lead the example. That's it. Then it's up to them. And that's what he's telling them. He says, when you go, verse 12, your steps shall not be straightened. In other words, when you go, fearing God, honoring God, loving God, receiving his word, your path is going to be clear. Your path is going to be open. It's not going to be cloudy. It's not going to be fuzzy. And when you run, you will not stumble. Now look at this. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her go. Keep her, for she is thy life. We're going to read a lot about the value of instruction throughout the Proverbs. In order to cherish instruction, we have to come at it from the perspective that it's God who is instructing us. And he's wiser than us, isn't he? We need his instruction. Notice it says in Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp, the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are a way of life. And yet there's something in this that doesn't like to be corrected or instructed. There's that flesh, isn't it? As soon as somebody corrects you, what's the first thing that comes out of your mouth? Well, who the heaven do you think you are? There's another word I could use that's biblical. You just curl up. Somebody gives you a reproof. Somebody reproves you. Now, maybe they aren't doing it in love in a godly way, which is another issue, but we all need to be able to receive instruction. We all need to be able to receive correction. Proverbs 10:17, he is in the way of life that keeps instruction, but he that refuses reproof, a person who is unteachable, who knows it all, knows nothing at all. Proverbs 15:33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And so he's telling his son now, he's telling his daughter, a very, very basic principle of in life is learning how to receive godly, wholesome, good instruction. We all need it, don't we? Don't we? We all need instruction and how we need to be able to receive from other people within the body of Christ. We need to receive from one another, iron sharpening iron, encouraging one another, exhorting one another. And here, Dad is giving good advice to his children. Then he tells them, verse 14, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Walking in the path always will lead you somewhere. Life is likened to a path because every action takes you somewhere and ultimately to your eternal destiny. Scripture tells us that the path that we choose to take in life is what will shape our values, our attitudes, our lifestyles. And now here, the father is telling the children, and I was told, watch out for the bad crowd. Well, little did mom and dad know, they soon found out I was the bad crowd that people were supposed to avoid. When Paul wrote to the church of Corinth, he put it this way in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believes with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. The importance of knowing that in Christ, you and I are now a separated people. Telling our sons and daughters that when you belong to Christ, you're no longer of this world system. You have to live with the fact that you're no longer going to fit in with the crowd. You avoid the peer pressure. Isn't it powerful? Now, we think that only youth have peer pressure. Adults have peer pressure. Grandparents have peer pressure. Everybody has peer pressure. Everybody wants to conform you to their image. And here, the father is telling the son, beware of these kinds of people. Now, you can't exist out of the world. You have to work. You go to school and all of those things. He's saying being a separatist. He says, you be separate. You be a light where you are. In the book of Ephesians, we read in chapter 4, verse 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and in true holiness. And that's true of us. We're new creatures. You believe that? We're new creatures in Christ. See, he is our identity. We've been crucified with Christ, buried with Christ, risen with Christ, seated in heavenly places in Christ. That's who we are. That's us. And yet we still have this traitor dwelling in us, our flesh, that we have to put off. It doesn't go away. We've been delivered from the power of the debt of sin, but not from the presence of sin. We need to learn how to walk that separate life, that holy life, that godly life in this fallen world. That's what Paul is telling believers. And that's what we need to tell our children. Bless the Lord, oh my soul,
bless his holy. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
At Koinonia, we believe the church should support parents and help children grow into disciples of Jesus Christ. Light of the Lamb's Children's Ministry strives to keep the focus on preaching the gospel and teaching the Word of God helping kids discover their spiritual gifts and mobilizing them for the work of the ministry. Children's programs are available during Sunday services, and kids' clubs meet on Wednesday during the evening services at Koinonia.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.